Bucky had a good song service tonight. Y'all want to sing one more song? Father Abraham, nothing like realizing how out of shape you are just by singing Father Abraham twice. Flip, so we're not going to sing it again. Unless Miss Beverly wants to come and lead it. And I know she doesn't want to. So, Philippians chapter number 2. We're going to kind of continue a little bit along the same thought. Not the same thought, but just a little bit along the same lines of what we looked at Sunday night. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16 tonight. Verse number 16. And I want to bring you a message entitled, Poured Out. Poured Out. The Bible says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered, and that's the phrase that carries the idea of being poured out. And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You know, Sunday night we talked about leftovers. That's exactly what the priests were doing. They were seeking their own. They weren't seeking, they weren't thinking about Jehovah. They weren't worried about the sacrifice that they were supposed to be giving to Jehovah. And here in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul pretty much says the same thing. He says, I'm going to send Timotheus that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded. Isn't that amazing? No man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I'm sure all of us in here tonight have heard someone or heard individuals make the statement that they have poured their lives into their kids, into their jobs, into their family. And we could fill in the blank with other terms. And by the way, none of that necessarily bad by any means. All of us pour our lives into something. And usually it's people, usually it's passions. And the Apostle Paul did as well. He poured his life into the local churches and into service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the meaning of the phrase that we mentioned just a moment ago, if I be offered. It is the idea of being poured out as a drink offering. The drink offering in the Old Testament represented that the savor of sacrifice was to be pleasing to God. And Paul understood that if his life was going to be pleasing to God, that it would not be a waste, but something in which to rejoice. If he poured out his life, he knew that that wouldn't be a waste. And friend, tonight, if we pour our lives out for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never a waste, is it? We read in our devotions a couple nights ago with the kids when Mary brought the alabaster box and she broke it and she poured it on Jesus' feet. Judas being one of the first to say, what a waste. What a waste to take almost a year's salary on this ointment, this very precious and very costly ointment, and break it and pour it on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a waste, Judas said. And by the way, not just Judas, but the majority of the disciples said the very same thing. But that's not what Jesus said, was it? No, he said she has done a good thing. And by the way, he said not only has she done a good thing, but she's going to be remembered forever for what she did. This story is going to be told forever, and she's going to be remembered. And the Apostle Paul understood, look, if I pour my life out, it is not a waste. By the way, hold your place here and go with me real quickly to 2 Corinthians. We know this verse. We've looked at this verse before. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. If I can get there, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 12, Verse number 15, here's the Apostle Paul again. He said, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Apostle Paul said, look, I'm going to spend myself. I'm going to pour myself out. I'm going to love you. Even though the more I pour myself out, the less you're going to love me, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to pour myself out. I'm still going to be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Many times you pour yourself out, by the way, even for your kids, or maybe for a family member, or maybe for a friend. You pour yourself out and you don't get that reciprocated. Sometimes that hurts, doesn't it? But the Apostle Paul said, I don't care if I get it reciprocated or not. I don't care if you love me back or not. I'm going to pour myself out for you. By the way, you pour yourself out for kids. These teachers pour themselves out for some of these Master Club kids on Wednesday night. And most of the time, they're not going to get reciprocated because they're kids. Many times they don't understand to reciprocate love and to be thankful and to be grateful. But the point is simply this: we still do it because we're not doing it for the thanks that we get from the kids. We're doing it very simply for the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. And so let's look at this tonight, being poured out. There's absolutely nothing wrong in pouring out our lives into people and passions. And by the way, that's exactly what we should do. However, the question bears asking, and the question is this: who are the people and what are the passions? Nothing wrong with pouring ourselves out for people. Nothing wrong with pouring ourselves out for passions if it's the right people and the right passions. A lot of people give their energy and give their efforts for people who don't deserve it. And here's what I mean by that. Let me give an illustration so you understand what I'm saying. A lot of people give their time and their energy for just by way of illustration, for professional athletes. They'll watch ball games and spend hours watching ball games. They'll spend money going to ball games. And by the way, I'm not against that. But when it comes to the point that that is our passion and that's what we're pouring ourselves out for, I believe it becomes wrong. And we'll pour ourselves out for professional athletes, by the way, who the vast majority of them hate our God. The vast majority of them. By the way, the vast majority of them hate our country. The vast majority of them hate our flag. The vast majority of them hate our God. And we pour our passions, or we pour ourselves out for those people. We give our money and we give our time and we give our energy. So the question bears asking, who are the people and what are the passions? Paul poured his life into people who needed Christ. And his passion was service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And simply tonight, I ask us and I say, may we purpose to be poured out for Jesus Christ. May we purpose to be poured out for Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. And I just want to give you three areas tonight in which Paul poured out himself. And I hope it will be an encouragement and maybe even a just a challenge for us tonight. Amen. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Father, thank you for this another Wednesday night that you've brought us to. Thank you for the good week that you've given us thus far. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we've had already this week. And Father, we thank you and praise you for it. Father, we pray, and I pray, that you would just calm our hearts tonight. And I pray that you'd help us just to take a deep breath. And Father, we will, and help us to just listen to your word and to your spirit tonight. And Father, may we allow your word to sink deep into our hearts tonight and do a work that only your word in conjunction with your spirit can do tonight. And Father, I thank you for those that are gathered here tonight. And I would dare say that the individuals gathered in this room tonight are individuals who have a desire to pour themselves out for their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, I do pray, maybe there would be an area that we would need to strengthen that specific idea in tonight. Maybe there's an area where we're not pouring ourselves out. Maybe there's an area where our passions are misappropriated and misdirected. Maybe, as we talked about Sunday night, There might be some areas in our lives where we're just giving you the leftovers. And Father, I pray that you'd challenge us with that tonight. Teach us and help us. Father, thank you for the children and the teens that are here tonight. I pray that you'd teach them. Lord, I pray that there might be a teen or a child that would be saved tonight. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would knock on their heart's door and help them to see their need for salvation. Father, I pray that you'd help the children to be attentive and obedient in their book time tonight. I pray that the teachers wouldn't have trouble or wouldn't be frustrated, but Father, that they would just listen tonight, and I pray that you would help them to do so. Father, we love you. Teach us tonight. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Number one tonight, Paul, first of all, poured out, first of all, his labor. He poured out his labor. And all three of these tonight begin with the letter L. He poured out his labor, he poured out his life, and he poured out his love. But he poured out his labor. The Bible says in verse number 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He poured out his labor. Two things here. He wanted his labor to be profitable, and he wanted his labor to be valuable. He wanted it to be profitable. He said, look, I don't want to come to the end of my life. I want to be able to come to the end of my life and rejoice, knowing that I have helped some of you, that I haven't just labored in vain, that y'all are still holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He poured out his labor. There's no question about that. And we're not going to go to all these passages tonight, but we could go to 1 Corinthians 15:10. We could go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We could go to Colossians chapter 1 verses 24 through 29. We could go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 8 and 9. And we could go to probably every epistle and see evidence and see testimony where the Apostle Paul poured out his life. By the way, let's do that real quickly. Would you turn back to the book of Acts? Acts chapter number 20. Would you do that quickly? Paul poured out his labor. In Acts chapter number 20, Paul is seeing the believers at Ephesus for the very last time. This is the last time that we believe that he was able to see them, the last time that, or at least that he thought that he would ever get to see them. Acts chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 16. The Bible says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know. He said, look, you don't have any doubt. I have left no doubt in your minds who I am and what I've done for you. He says, ye know. From the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You see, he wanted his labor to be profitable. Not just to live a life and die and have nothing to show for it. He wanted his labor to be profitable. And by the way, I know we're talking about spiritual tonight, but every single one of us in here tonight, we want that. You want that for your job, don't you? Whatever it is that you do to make money, whatever it is that God has called you to do that provides for your family, don't you, when all is said and done and you look back, don't you want to know that you've been profitable in what God called you to do? Absolutely. Whether it's in our spiritual life, as Christians, as a Christian mom, a Christian dad, as a pastor, as a deacon, or whoever it might be, we want to look back and see that we were profitable spiritually. We want to look back and see that we were profitable in our, if you want to say, secular jobs or whatever God has called you to do. And by the way, if God's called you to do it, I think secular is the wrong word. If that's what He's called you to do, that's just as high, that's just as good of a calling as if He called a pastor. Because if that's what He called you to do, then that's what He wants you to do. And He wants you to do it with everything that you have. And we ought to do it with the idea, look, when all is said and done, I want this to be profitable. I want to leave something behind. And He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, that famous verse, and most of us have probably heard this many, many times. He says, but none of these things, nothing I have endured, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What did he say? He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? Why could he say that? Because he had poured out his labor. And the second thing we'll get to in a moment, he had poured out his life. He had poured out his labor. He wanted his labor to be profitable. He wanted his labor to be valuable. By the way, look back at chapter 2. Why did he want it to be profitable and valuable in Philippians chapter 2? If Paul's labor was profitable and valuable, not in vain, then here's what would happen. The word would go forth. You see what he says in verse number 16? Let's back up to verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Look, if Paul was successful in pouring out his labor and what he was doing for Christ, the word would go forth, the brethren would shine as lights, and he would be able to rejoice. That's why he wanted his work, his labor, to be profitable and to be valuable. Why? So that the word would go forth, verse 16, so that the brethren would be shining lights in verse 15, so that at the end of all he could rejoice. And say, you know what, I didn't waste. I poured out my labor and it was profitable and it was valuable. Secondly, not only did he pour out his labor, but he poured out his life. And by the way, those are not mutually exclusive. Those go together, his labor and his life. Verse 17 of Philippians 2, he says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He said, look, if I die, if I'm offered because of what I'm doing, not only because of ministering to you, the church at Philippi, but ministering to all the local churches, look what he says. He says, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Paul poured out his life. It was a life of sacrifice, as we talked about Sunday night. It was a life of sacrifice. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul had laid himself on the altar as a living sacrifice. Every single bit of it. His hands, his feet, his mind, his whole body, he had laid on the altar as a living sacrifice. And by the way, even as a sacrifice that he was willing to die for Jesus Christ. Was he willing to live for Christ? Absolutely. Look, you're in Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter number 1. Let's begin in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Whether I live or whether I die, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. I don't want to die magnifying self. I want to die magnifying God. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die in gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He laid his body down, his flesh, his every bit of his body as a living sacrifice, but he was willing to give it as a permanent sacrifice if that would be the case. And by the way, he did, didn't he? He was martyred for his faith. It was a life of sacrifice. I can't say this for sure because we didn't live with Paul. But I doubt there were very few times when God got leftovers when it came to Paul. I can almost guarantee you God always got the best with Paul. At least after he got saved. God always got the best. I guarantee there were probably very few times, if any at all, that Paul gave leftovers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a life of sacrifice. It was a life of service. We read Acts 20:24. He said, look, I don't count my life dear to myself because I want to finish my ministry, my course, with what? What did he say? With joy. And I want to finish it. The ministry God's given me, the course that God's given me, I want to finish it with joy. It was a life of sacrifice. It was a life of service poured out. And if I be offered, he said in verse number 17, poured out as that drink offering. He poured out his labor. He poured out his life. It was a life of sacrifice, of service. It was a life lived for the Savior. It was a life lived for the Savior. We already read it in verse number 20 of chapter 1. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Poured out. He poured himself out. Let me ask us tonight, what are we pouring our lives out for? What are we giving our lives to? Listen, the older I get, I look back, just like y'all do. I look back and I think, could I have done something different? Could I have done some things different? Could I have given myself more? Could I have poured myself out more? You say, Pastor, what's the answer? Sometimes the answer is yes, I could have. Sometimes God gives me peace to say, no, you did exactly what I wanted you to do. But sometimes there are times when He says, you could have. You could have poured your labor out more. You could have poured your life out more. And look, I don't want to look back. One of these days, I don't know how long the Lord's going to give me, but I don't want to look back one day and have so many regrets because I poured my life out for some passion that has no eternal value. The greatest failure is being successful in something that is not God's will. Think about that for a moment. The greatest failure is being successful in something that is not God's will. And I don't want to pour myself out for something that's not God's will. He poured out his labor. He poured out his life. And thirdly, we read it in 2 Corinthians 12:15. He poured out his love. He poured out his love. 2 Corinthians 12:15. He said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now I'm going to tell you, that's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to love somebody and they don't reciprocate that? Isn't it hard sometimes? And I say hard, I don't know that that's even the right word. I think I'm just talking about our fleshly nature right now. Isn't it a little disappointing sometimes when you just spend and spend and give and give and give and nobody cares? Hey, wives, isn't it a little frustrating when you give and give and give and husband doesn't notice? Yeah. It's the same in the spiritual life, same in the Christian life. We give and we give and we give. We spend, we spend, we spend. And people don't notice and people don't reciprocate. And the Apostle Paul said, no. That's not why I do it. I don't do it to get reciprocated. I don't do it to get love in return. I don't do it to get thanks in return. I do it for for the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul poured out his love. Look at verse 19 in Philippians 2. Verses 19 through 21. Notice the care. You don't see the word love in these three verses. But look what he says. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." You know what was always on Paul's mind? It was the local churches. Always. It was the local churches. You don't have to turn there, but let me turn back real quickly. In 1 Corinthians, or it may be 2 Corinthians, I'll find it here in just a second. In Acts 20:24, 2 Corinthians. In Acts 20:24 that we read just a moment ago, he said, "None of these things move me." Well, in 2 Corinthians 11, we have a list of some things that could have moved him. And one of the very last things, in verse number 28 of 2 Corinthians 11, he said, "Beside those things that are without," he talks about the stripes, he talks about the beatings, he talks about the shipwreck. He said, "Beside those things that are without, the things that harmed my body, that which cometh upon me daily," every single day, what was that? The care of all the churches. They were on, hey, when he was in the prison getting ready to die, those churches were on his mind. Why? Because he loved them. Because those were converts that he had brought. Those were converts that he had brought to Christ. And he says, "I want to send Timotheus shortly to you." Why? Because I want to know of your state. I want to know how you're doing. He poured out his love. Verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Nobody cares for you the way that I do. Verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I want to say something, and I'm not saying this for personal accolades at all. I'm saying it as an illustration. Somebody asked me just a few days ago, they said, "Pastor, how in the world are you able to bury three of your church members in less than a month and be able to do that and be able to preach the services?" I told him, first of all, because of the Word. I said, we always come back to the Word. The Word gives me strength. God Almighty gives me strength. It's the Word that gives me strength. But you know what the second thing is? Because of love. Because those are people that I loved. Those are people that God gave me the privilege to shepherd. And those are people that I loved. And God gives you the strength to do it. His Word gives you the strength. Because you know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know that you're going to see that individual once again. He poured out His love. He loved the local church. He loved the lost. He loved the local church. He loved the lost. Acts chapter number 20. You don't have to go back there, but let me read it. We stopped at verse 24. Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to pick up in verse 25. "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day." Again, remember, he's talking to the Ephesian church. He said, "You're not going to see my face anymore." He said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." He said, "I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He poured out his love for the lost. Now, you may be better than I am, but I can't make that statement. I can't make the statement that every lost person I've ever come in contact with, I've given them the gospel, given them a tract, told them about Christ. I can't say I've done that. But the Apostle Paul, he said, "I'm free from the blood of all men." because I have not shunned to preach, to give the whole counsel of God. He loved the lost. He loved the local church. And most importantly, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 21 of Philippians 2, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm going to send Timotheus because I trust him. But I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, because they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ." Paul was always constantly seeking the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pouring himself out. He poured out his labor. He gave himself body, every bit of him in labor. He toiled night and day. He said, "Look, I have not shunned to give you the gospel. I have cried." In Acts chapter number 20, he said, "Look, I have been with you. I have given you the gospel. I've given you the whole counsel of God. I have cried for you." And he poured out his life. He poured out his labor. And he poured out his love. Is that us tonight? Nobody in here tonight is called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be an apostle. None of us are called to be the Apostle Paul. But we're called to be Christians just like the Apostle Paul. And if the Apostle Paul could pour himself out, and the Bible says, "If I be offered, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, if I be poured out," he said, "that's okay. I joy and rejoice with you all." He said, "because my prayer and my desire," verse 16, "is that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." What did he pour out? He poured out his labor. He wanted it to be profitable and valuable. He poured out his life. It was a life of sacrifice, of service, and most importantly, a life lived for the Savior. And then he poured out his love. He said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Hey, dear friend, tonight, you show somebody love and they don't reciprocate it, just keep loving them. I know the easy thing is to say, "You know what? I tried. I'm not going to try anymore." That's the fleshly way out. But the biblical way is to say, "I'm going to spend and be spent. I'm going to spend and be spent. I'm going to give myself." Look, people talk about burning out. If anybody could have ever burned out, the Apostle Paul could have. But he never talked about burning out. "Man, you're going to burn out." Apostle Paul never burned out. But I don't even know the Apostle Paul ever took a vacation. He probably did, but you don't see it very much. And by the way, I'm not saying you shouldn't take a vacation, because I'm taking one soon and I'm going to take it. I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you what the Apostle Paul said. "Look, I'll spend myself. I'll give everything I have, even if I don't get love in return. Because I'm going to pour myself out for Christ." He poured out his life and he poured out his love. He loved the lost. He loved the local church. He thought about them daily. The care of the churches was constantly on his mind. I guarantee he woke up thinking about them, and I guarantee he went to bed thinking about them. I guarantee he walked those missionary journey paths thinking about those local churches. And he loved, most importantly, the reason he loved the lost and the reason he loved the local church is because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Nobody else, they all do it for their own sake, not for Jesus Christ, but I'm doing it all for Jesus Christ." Hey, dear church family tonight, let's pour ourselves out. Let's pour ourselves out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pour ourselves out for the lost. Let's pour ourselves out for our local church family. But most importantly, let's pour ourselves out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever He asks, let's be willing to do it. Whatever He requires of us, let's be willing to do it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Father, thank you for the Word that you've given us tonight. Thank you for the truths. Father, thank you for the Apostle Paul. Lord, so many examples in his epistles of how we're supposed to live. And Father, we didn't even scratch the surface tonight of how he poured himself out. We could have looked at every epistle and had examples and testimony of how he poured himself out. Father, thank you for that example. And Father, I pray that you'd help us in the day and time in which we live. Father, I thank you for the blessings that you've given our nation. I thank you for the blessings that you've given us as a people. But Father, in many ways, I think we're so comfortable, and we are. And Father, we need to be willing to pour ourselves out. We need to be willing to spend ourselves, even to the point where it is a little uncomfortable. And Father, I pray that you'd help us with that tonight. Father, I pray we would not give you the leftovers with our labor. I pray that we would not give you the leftovers with our lives. Father, I pray that we'd live holy, acceptable. And Father, I pray that we would not give you the leftovers with our love, but Father, we'd pour it all out. And Lord, we would be willing to be offered, if I be offered. Father, may that be our prayer tonight. Father, give us safety as we go to our homes. Father, allow us to get these children home safely tonight. I pray that you have been honored. I pray that you've been magnified. And I pray that you've been pleased in what's been done in this place tonight. Father, help us. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.